Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. We're going to take you to our Trey Lance interview from earlier today in just a little bit. But the first thing we want to do is take you to the next 49ers pick, which might have been safety Trayvon Mooring. But they traded that pick, number 43, to the Raiders to move back in this draft now. They traded pick 43 with the Raiders to move back. The Raiders just took Trayvon Mooring, and the 49ers are now picking 48th here in round two. And they also, from the Raiders, picked up a fourth-round pick, which is number 121 from the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Niners add a fourth-round pick to move back a grand total of five spots with the Raiders in the second round. So now they'll have their pick coming up here at 48. They're going to have their compensatory pick, which is 102. And then two fourth-round picks, two fifth-round picks, a sixth-round pick. Their seventh-round pick was also included in this deal with the Raiders to get this moving done. So they also included their seventh-round pick. So there you go. There is There's a player that I think that the 49ers might have been interested in, but he goes to the Raiders, who obviously need help in the secondary as well.
So there's two big things to me, right? One is, this is going to look bad if he's good. Like, if he was not just, I mean, this kid won the award for best defensive back in the country in college. He had the best season of any defensive back. He was expected to go in the first round by a lot of people. He was, I think, number one on Mel's best available board or whatever for the last several picks. So, you know, in a lot of ways, this was an obvious pick for the 49ers to make. And if he turns out to be really good, this is going to look like a weird decision. That being said, we knew they were probably in the market for more picks. And given that list you just read off with all the fifth and sixth and seventh rounders, I wouldn't be shocked to see them trade back up into the third round or something like that later tonight.
Yeah, and the other wild card is that when the Raiders draft somebody, you sort of have to duck in general. So they might have also dodged a bullet.
Sure, but this is also a good, I mean, measured by the value of, like, the discourse, this is a good value move for a Raider team that added a player who wasn't expected to be available at pick 43.
I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is that there's now been five defensive backs taken in the first 12 picks. And so if the 49ers were keen on one of them, they probably should have sat where they were and then taken, I don't know, Kelvin Joseph or anybody like that, but
Asante
they might be looking at another position. That's true, but you know, the Jaguars are still picking Cincinnati, and of course the Chargers, who can always use secondary help.
Jaguars just went cornerback. It was the first pick of the second round. The name that I gave you is one of my three sleepers that I really like. The kid who wasn't from Indiana or Purdue was cornerback Tyson Campbell out of Georgia.
And I guess I'm not exactly Mr. Sandman picking out sleepers here. He was the number one pick in the second round. So there you go.
And another corner to the Cowboys just now. So this is definitely a rush on the defensive secondary. And you have to wonder, did the Niners like a guy who's falling, or did they like a guy who got snapped up before them unexpectedly and now they're reconsidering their plans?
No surprise to see the Cowboys go with Kelvin Joseph out of Kentucky, because it really seemed like the one way for their first round to get undone a little bit was if both corners had gone off the board before 10, which is what happened last night, which is why they pivoted to linebacker. So interesting rolling out and developing of all these picks. Again, we had a great conversation with Trey Lance, and we're going to bring you to that conversation in just a minute. But in the name of We Doing Live Radio, we got a pick coming up here for the San Francisco 49ers in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, we are two on-the-clock teams away. The Jaguars pick is in right now. It is their second pick of the second round. They just took Stanford offensive tackle Walker Little, by the way. So a Stanford Cardinal has just been drafted to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock, followed by the Los Angeles Chargers, followed by the San Francisco 49ers. And we are going to take you through this pick, and then we're going to get you out to that interview that we had with Trey Lance earlier today. Trey Lance is just such an interesting wrinkle to put in that quarterback room, and how Kyle decides it's the time to start using him or it's not the time to start using him, how quickly he closes his learning gap on the Shanahan playbook is going to be a fascinating thing to watch. That, look, Jimmy, in a weird way, is still very much in control of his own destiny here. Yeah, he's going to have this kid who wants to compete like the devil right behind him. But all Jimmy needs to do is live up to expectations that he has already met. He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to win football games. If the Niners are 4-0 and Jimmy's playing well, you're not going to see Trey Lance in week 5. You're just not. They are going to, I think, unless something happens that changes the equation and he's out of the room, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy enough to get the chance to start 17 games this year, will start 17 games this year. And if he doesn't start 17 games this year, it's because he got hurt or they're not going to the postseason, at which point in time, maybe it's time to go to the kid.
Yeah, I honestly think that if he does well and they win a lot and they go deep into the postseason, all of a sudden Trey Lance, through no fault of his own, is going to have to wait another year. And I don't mean like 2022. I mean, he doesn't become a real option for them till 23, because it would be very hard, at least in my mind, for the 49ers to go away from a quarterback who took them to a Super Bowl, then got injured, or, you know, through somebody else's malfeasance, got injured, and then came back and had a very good year the year after that, because then what you've got is a very good quarterback. And Even allowing for all the things that Lance can do, you know, you don't take out a hot hand.
Again, though, if Trey Lance's first start is game one of the 23 season, he'll just have turned 23 years old. Great. Let's do it. I mean, and I think the only way it becomes 2 years is if there is really tremendous success and Garoppolo is excellent. But if that happens, I don't think anyone's going to complain, maybe even including Trey Lance. Because I, like I said, I think there are ways to get him involved without handing him the keys. And all that does is make you more dynamic. So as he grows, I'm sure his role will grow. And when he's ready, you hand it off. And look, if Jimmy Garoppolo wins the next two Super Bowls and Trey Lance looks like he's ready to pick up where Jimmy Garoppolo leaves off, that's the best of all of possible situation for the Niners. It's nothing to complain about, that's for sure.
If Jimmy Garoppolo wins back-to-back Super Bowls, the the words Trey Lance are never uttered again on planet Earth. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, it doesn't. No, of course, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But if Jimmy Garoppolo wins back-to-back Super Bowls, what happens to Trey Lance? It doesn't even matter at that point. You've just won back-to-back Super Bowls, which means you cannot get happier as a football fan. So shut up. I mean, if back-to-back Super Bowl championships, your only thought is, what are we going to be doing at quarterback? You're out of your mind. You know, like, you can celebrate that a little bit. Here's a good question. Will Jimmy be treated the same way Miami treated Ryan Fitzpatrick after a good start to this season? I think the answer is no for two reasons. Number one, Jimmy's better and has more in the tank than Ryan Fitzpatrick does at this point in time. And there's also a coach who just isn't going to do that, I think, to a quarterback. I just don't see, in any way, shape, or form, a yo-yoing of Jimmy Garoppolo at the very end. When the decision about Lance is made, I think it's going to be a full about 180. This is the new way of doing business. There's going to be no teeter-tottering between the two of them.
Well, and I think also part of that, I agree, and part of that for me is that, again, it's going to be more about Lance as far as when he comes in than it is going to be about Jimmy, I expect. So once Lance is ready, you're not going to then switch back after he has a bad game.
By the way, the Cincinnati Bengals, who a lot of people thought might have made a mistake by not going tackle to protect Joe Burrow, they pair him with Ja'Marr Chase, his former teammate from LSU at wide receiver. Well, the Bengals have come back for their tackle in the second round. They just picked the name just went off the board there.
It's Jackson Carmen.
Jackson Carmen. Thank you very much. The tackle out of Clemson just went. Is it Clemson? I think it went to Clemson,
yes.
Right? Yes, thank you very much. Tackle out of Clemson. And I did that from memory, and the Niners weren't even looking tackle. That's show prep, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here until...
You'll be here till 54 like the rest of us.
Till 50. It's exactly... I was going to do the math, but I'm terrible at that. But that looks to be about 42 minutes from right now. We are just a minute or two from announcing what the 49ers do at number 48. They had a pick that they just traded with the Raiders for a player that maybe they could have been interested in, certainly could have used. It started a little run on corners, which is an area of need for the 49ers. So, you know, what the fourth round pick that they picked up becomes will go a long way to solving whether or not this might have been an error to move back. Let's see who they select coming up in just a little bit here. Right now, the Chargers, their pick is in, according to the draft tracker on NFL.com, on ESPN as well. So we will wait to see what the Chargers do. Then we're going to see what the 49ers do, just trading back with the Las Vegas Raiders. And then we're going to get to Trey Lance, who, guys, we did this interview already today. He joined us around 2:15, 2:30 this afternoon, and he really was a good conversation. He seems like he's got the right attitude, the right level-headed kind of approach to all this. And one of the things that I think is the most interesting element of the interview is what we get to right away. Like, when did he really know that he was the pick? You would think, just think, the 49ers might have told him a couple hours before the draft started, that sort of thing. No. He will tell you in this interview that he didn't know anything about it until the call came in from Kyle Shanahan, which, by the way, we have. We have the call from Kyle Shanahan. Nash, can you play that for us right now? This is Shanahan saying, hey, Trey, you're the pick. Congratulations. Here's the phone call.
What's up, man?
What's going on, Coach?
Nothing, dude. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm so excited, Coach.
All right. You had a hunch for a while?
Man, I didn't know, Coach. You wouldn't tell me nothing.
Hey, we didn't tell anybody, man.
I know.
I thought you could tell, though, the way I thought you got a vibe, but turning into them.
I did, but I didn't. I didn't know, Coach.
Hey, man, it was all worth it, man. Dude, we're so pumped. So pumped, man. We'll get you out here tomorrow. Enjoy this night. Talk with your family, man. You've earned it. Hey, Jed York, our only one's talking right now.
Jed.
Right?
Awesome, yes, sir.
Oh, we cut off from Jed? We don't hear the Jed convo?
He was too busy tweeting.
Oh, and that's what they put out. I guess the Niners didn't even release the Jed convo. Did you guys see the Mac Jones, the Patriots War Room video that they put out? I mean,
I did not.
Look, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not expecting an awful lot of character or acting or enthusiasm from neither Bill Belichick nor Robert Kraft, but the New England Patriots drafted. Look at it this way. I've always been more excited to order Chinese food than they were to draft Mac Jones. And look, they might have been giddy on the inside, but on the outside, it was like they were reading the white pages.
Hi, Mac. This is Bill Belichick. We're very excited about having drafted you right here. You ready to get to work? Great. Didn't even wait for his answer. Here's Robert Kraft.
And I mean, like, that's it. You got to see it. They're not an enthusiastic bunch in New England, shall we just say. Not a lot of rah, 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 sis, boom, bah.
Well, let's be honest, though. If Bill Belichick had come on the phone and started to wildly emote and gesticulate, I pretty much believe that people would have thought there was an imposter. He is. That's who he is, and that's who he has to be, because that's the character he's built.
You know how I said that Asante Samuel's kid was still there for the Niners?
No, he's not.
He's not anymore. Chargers just took him. So, boy, if they had a corner in mind, it wasn't any of the corners anyone else had in mind, because they all just got taken.
They did all just get taken. It might be a little bit of a reach, but can I just put out there for you my other sleeper, Jamar Johnson, safety, Indiana University? It might be a little bit of a reach right here, but, I mean, I think he's the right player, and I also think that the Niners are sort of running out of secondary, high-priced, value, good-to-have-picked-right-here options. Trading,
don't they? I'll
tell you what, man. The Niners did such a good pick on that first round that there's going to probably be 2 years between now and anyone can evaluate it. This is where the criticism might come from. When we sit back and talk around what the Niners did or didn't get right in this draft, this trade with the Raiders, if they're having problems in their secondary and all of a sudden they said, yeah, we're going to move on back because we don't necessarily need to take Trayvon Mooring or Kelvin Joseph or those guys right now. And then all of a sudden, nah, they're going to stick around and wait for Asante Samuel Jr. Nope. Chargers just scooped them up. So if they want to expose themselves to a little criticism, here it is.
Yeah, I mean, because it would seem to me that, you know, knowing that the Chargers would be interested in a secondary guy, they probably would have tried to trade, you know, with Cincinnati to make sure that they don't get in that box. But, I mean, they chose 48 for a reason, and they traded with the Raiders, who, you know, also needed a secondary guy and ended up getting a safety. So I'm kind of feeling like maybe they're not going secondary here.
We have the pick in, according to the ESPN tracker. The draft is actually in commercial on television right now. I'm going to tell you right now.
No, that's just a heavily commercially sponsored segment involving weird video game figures. It is not a commercial.
It looked like a commercial. They caught me.
It really did.
Yeah, that's the sponsor for the pick is in, and then the pick will be sponsored by something else.
Well, I don't know.
It was like a weird cartoon scene, and all it had was ads everywhere. It really looked like a commercial break, but it was not one. Welcome to round two of the NFL draft.
I thought they were selling me some fiberglass. This is the goofy part of the draft where they start bringing like D-list and C-list celebrities up to come and make the pick. Like they just had the Isley brothers announce a pick. For somebody. I don't even know who
they had. Did you see who the Bears celebrity drafter was?
No. Tell me it was Belushi.
Wide receiver Rashid Davis.
Hey. Jeez. I mean, whenever you can send Rashid to go get it done, you send in Rashid, right?
He must just live in Cleveland, right?
It was a convenient moment for him. Goodell's walking to the podium. Are we going to the audience? Oh, he's going to talk to – by the way, the Goodell chair's out there again. That thing's going to need to be Clorox before it goes back to his rumpus room, don't you think?
Oh, he's not taking that back. You kidding me? Oh,
it's going right to the Hall of Fame. It's going to Canton. Let's go to the podium. Roger Goodell.
With the 48th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Banks, guard Notre Dame.
Well, what do you know?
What do you know? I didn't think that they would be looking more offensive line here and now. I don't know if that means Daniel Brunskill's just been replaced or they got another backup in the near future. Obviously, this has nothing to do with Laken Tomlinson, who might have been the MVP of that offensive line last year. Aaron Banks, guard, Notre Dame, he, look at it this way, is going to be playing next to another Irishman, right? Another member of the Fighting Irish, Mike McGlinchey, and Aaron Banks could be playing together on that right side.
He is a big, big, big man, 6'5", 330. That, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a replacement. I think maybe as much as anything, this is just a third guard. Here's and the attrition that the Niners have gone through, like, that's just prudent.
Here's what I do know. He wears number 69 at Notre Dame. McGlinchey wears number 69 right now with the 49ers. So we got controversy. We got controversy.
Just a couple of Notre Dame alums. They'll work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I know. They rejected a guy from Indiana to take a guy from Notre Dame. Eat that.
Yeah, well, it's not the first time that's happened. Probably won't be the last. But anyways,
I was going to say earlier, but it slipped my mind. They filled the Indiana, quota when they signed Sudfeld. You know, they had Coleman gone, Sudfeld replaces that. You can't add more Indiana to your team. It's football, for God's sakes.
You can't have enough. We are reborn. Look out. Okay, so anyway. Enough about us, enough about second-round draft picks. Everyone is here for first-round draft pick, Trey Lance, and he joined us earlier today. It was great to catch up with him. Obviously, we started with all the congratulations. What a moment in life that he has accomplished, all the hard work that he's put in, all the hard work his family put in. We started with all the pleasantries of all that, but then we jumped right into the meat and potatoes of how he was selected. When exactly, Trey Lance, did you find out that the Niners were taking you at number 3 overall?
I really didn't know until I got that call, and I was giving Coach Shanahan and Mr. Lynch a little bit of a hard time today because they waited until there was probably a minute or two left on the clock. So I got that call, and I really didn't know until that moment.
So was your heart pounding out of your chest there? Did you think, if not now, what might happen? Or did you have an instinct that you were the guy?
I really didn't know. I wanted to think in my head that you know, they would have liked what they saw with me as a, you know, football player, person, whatever it was. But for me, you know, I really didn't know until, like I said, until I got that call.
Take us through the entire sort of draft process where you see your name mentioned. Then you see, you know, sort of the criticisms one way or another, just the way that it happens for every draftee. What was the thing that bothered you the most about other people's assessment of you, and what was the thing that you thought rang truest?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really tried to not let that stuff bother me, and I really don't think it did throughout the draft process. For me, it was just about getting better and getting outside my comfort zone over the last, you know, 6-7 months. I wanted to give teams an opportunity, whether it was Zoom meetings or through my pro days, to know exactly what they're getting. And I thought I did that, and whether it was, you know, getting to know me as a person or what I know, you know, from a film standpoint, I wanted, you know, to be honest and genuine as far as football and life goes.
I saw a report last night that Jimmy Garoppolo immediately reached out for your cell phone when you were the pick. Did you talk to him?
Yeah, he sent me a text last night, and I was, you know, super thankful and grateful for that, for him reaching out. It meant a lot to me, and I'm super excited to get to work, get to meet him, and learn as much as I possibly can from him.
Who's your one buddy from high school who's still not impressed with all that you've accomplished?
Most of my guys from high school, thankfully, are super excited. And I think the coolest thing for me was being able to watch people's reactions, whether it was, you know, my teammates from school or people back in my hometown.
It really is great to watch this all happen to you and unfold. How does an NFL talent end up at a school that not a lot of NFL talent seems to come from? Tell us about your path to North Dakota.
Yeah, I fell in love with North Dakota State. I mean, throughout my recruiting process in high school, there was most of the Power 5 schools, or really all the Power 5 schools that recruited me, wanted me to play a different position. And for me, that was, you know, kind of not an option, not something that I ever thought about or wanted to do. I believed in myself as a quarterback and thought I could do it, so that's what I was going to do. So went to North Dakota State, was super thankful that they gave me that opportunity and got to sit behind Easton Stick, who I give all the credit in the world to, just as far as learning. I learned offense and just how to handle myself as a person, as a quarterback, whether it's, you know, in public, in the media, whatever it was. I give him all the credit in the world for that. Got to sit behind him and then obviously played in 2019. It was a ton of fun. I got to learn a ton throughout that year, and this whole draft process is the same way. But North Dakota State, I know not a lot of people know about it, especially out here, so hopefully I can educate some more people about the Bison.
Oh, you put them on the map, there's no doubt.
Carson might have did that before me.
Once you're selected, how quickly did you transfer into, okay, what do I need to learn most mode? Or did you just spend last night basking in the joy? I mean, does the job start today, or did the job start last night?
Right away, I was super excited to learn, and that was the first thing, I guess, that crossed my mind. Obviously, had media and stuff like that and got to spend some time and enjoy it with family, and that's obviously, I think, the biggest piece of advice that I got from people was to enjoy it that night, because you only get it once. But woke up this morning kind of ready to go, and especially being here, at the facility and everything like that, super excited and getting around the coaching staff, getting to meet a few of the guys. And for me, you know, today has been, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm kind of ready to get started, get to know the guys and get to work.
You mentioned the great season in 2019, and obviously that's what put you on the map as a draft prospect. How tough was it to only get to play one game last year? I mean, I assume you had designs on coming out and having an even better season in 2020. How tough was it to have to watch and sort of not be able to show people what you could do?
Yeah, I definitely obviously would have loved to be able to play a whole another season, and then, you know, had to make that decision in January after another national championship. But for me, you know, my thing is I just try not to worry about what I can't control, and COVID, you know, messed things up for everyone. Obviously, you know, it was hard for me to not have a whole season. I would have obviously loved to play and spend that time with my teammates. But it all worked out how it was supposed to. I made the decision to come out and made myself uncomfortable, learned as much as I possibly could over the last 6-7 months, and got to watch a ton of college football, you know, more college football than I probably ever thought I could have imagined. But it was awesome. It was an awesome process, super smooth, and super thankful for everyone that helped me get to this point.
Niners quarterback Trey Lance here on 95.7 The Game. Could you tell us a little bit more about what was billed as a tailor-made pro day for Kyle Shanahan that you obviously impressed an awful lot putting on for him? Who talked you through that day? Who told you about what Kyle wanted to see? And obviously you showed it to him.
Yeah, my second pro day really was just, you know, to give any team that wanted to see me more another opportunity to. Like I said, whether it was Zoom meetings or my pro days, I wanted everyone to know exactly what they're getting, and I wanted to answer every question that teams had. So for me, it was, I tried to incorporate a lot of things, whether it was different play action, footwork, different throws, different routes, different timings, different types of throws. For me, that, you know, obviously would have worked in this offense, or similar to something that Coach Shanahan does with his offense, as well as other teams. For me, that was the biggest thing, was to be able to get in front of people one more time.
What have you been told from reliable people about the difference in speed and size that you're going to? Because, and this is not a statement about FCS football, but college football in general is played at a slightly slower pace with slightly smaller people. Have you been given any advice that you can sort of glom onto already, or is that something you simply have to experience?
It is different. You know, that's a fact. Obviously, college, there's a reason why college football isn't the same as professional football, and the speed of the game is for sure something that will be an adjustment, as it, I think it is for everyone. But I think mentally, that's how you take care of that, is just learning it, knowing it as well as you possibly can. And I know the coaching staff is going to do everything they can to push me and get me outside my comfort zone every single day. So that's the one thing that I'm looking forward to. Like I said, learning from Jimmy and the guys in the room, and just finding my role and embracing it.
All right, Trey. I've been tasked by some buddies at the station to tell you. Apparently, someone told you not to say Frisco. It's important to know Frisco is actually okay. San Fran is the one unacceptable term for the city. The city is cool. San Francisco is cool. Frisco is also cool. You just have to be around the right people. In general, though, what do you know about the Bay? Have you been here before? You know, are you looking forward to anything in particular about coming out?
This is my first time out here. Just got out here this morning and really looking forward to learning more about the community and checking it out here with my family, and, you know, figuring out kind of getting my bearings location wise, what's around and everything, and just being able to check out, like I said, the community and get to know people. They try to give me some tips and tricks to the Bay Area. So I know that San Fran is a definite no. So thank you for that. But, yeah, I'm excited to learn and get familiar with the community. I think that's the biggest thing, and this is my first time out here, like I said, so I'll learn a ton.
So you land at SFO. You go south to the stadium and the team facility. You got to go north from SFO, and we'll actually see you in San Francisco, we hope, soon. You're going to like this town. It's going to open itself up to greet you when you do get here. There is no doubt about it. Trey Lance, you have now at your disposal one of the great franchises in football history and all that comes with it, including access to, I've always said, you know, so when you get elected president, if anyone gets elected president, how long do they have to wait before they ask, like, the chief of the CIA or the FBI, like, are aliens real? Like, how long do you have to wait before you can ask the crazy question? How long are you going to wait before you start saying, I want Joe Montana's phone number. I want Steve Rice's phone number. Or I want Steve Young's phone number. I want Jerry Rice's phone number. You have an unbelievable resource of Hall of Famers to tap into now. Do you plan on doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to obviously get in contact with anyone that I can and learn as much as I possibly can about, you know, this organization. And like you said, honored to be a part of it. I know this is a special place, and obviously the people that have came before me have made it special. So I'm just really looking forward to, like I said, learning as much as I can about the community, the organization. And obviously, yeah, those people are legends. So definitely would love to get in touch with them. But there's definitely a mutual level of respect that I need to earn before that happens.
Well, look, you can call now. You're in the building. You're in the family. There is no doubt about that. You can call these guys today if you want to, Trey. By the way, on our morning show, they were talking to the man who is pound for pound the greatest football player of all time, Jerry Rice. Here's what Jerry Rice thinks of you.
They have their Ferrari. I had the opportunity to talk to this kid. His family is very stable. They're backing him 100%. He has a younger brother, and, you know, he's just very intelligent. And we talked about that it factor. You hear me talk about that all the time,
yep.
Making players better, you know, around him. And I think he has that. So, yeah, you know, I think they have that Ferrari now. Now the decision is, you know, what's going to happen with Jimmy G with the 49ers moving forward.
Jerry Rice calling you a Ferrari. Compliments don't get better than that. They really don't.
You're right. Yeah, that was pretty cool to hear. Obviously, everything he's done, the type of person he is, how he handles himself, how he treats people, everything like that. I mean, he's a very special person.
Jeff Garcia, by the way, also gave you a blessing to his number, and we have it on tape. Here is Jeff Garcia talking about full-on permission for you to have number 5, if that's what you want.
I think he'll look pretty darn good in number 5. You know, there hasn't been anybody, I think, since me that's really worn it very well. So I'd be more than happy to, you know, honor that guy with number 5. He intrigues me. He's a guy that a couple seasons ago when I watched him play at North Dakota State, he was a guy that right away grabbed my attention. I didn't care about what level it was or who he was playing against. He just did things that showed maturity, even though he was 18 years old, showed maturity, showed grit, showed athleticism, showed accuracy, decision-making was on point, a lot of things, a lot of qualities that transitioned to the next level.
What's your number? What's the jersey going to be?
I'm very fortunate. I'm super excited to wear number 5. It's going to be awesome, and obviously, like you said, man, the people that have worn it before me are what made this place and that number so special.
Who's giving you the real estate lecture? Your agent, your parents, or the team?
I've gotten plenty of, yeah, advice about the situation. So I'm super excited, obviously. Like I said, just to check it out, check out the area, and learn as much as I can. And I think that's another thing that will be awesome for me to talk to, you know, my teammates about and learn as much as I can from them about what they've done.
Trey, we wish you the very, very best of luck. We wanted you to be the name. We're very happy that you were the name, and you are in an incredible situation with a hell of a coach, a hell of a team around you, a hell of a left tackle, which, by the way, is the best friend of any quarterback in the world. So we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and enjoy this journey as far as it takes you. Thank you so much, Trey.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Pretty darn impressive first conversation with a young man who is just absolutely ready to step into his professional moment. How nice for him that he's not going to be thrown into a football game before he's ready to be put into a football game. Very, very good conversation with Trey Lance. We're appreciative of the 49ers for setting that up for us earlier today, and we wanted to run it past you. We want to quickly let everybody know that the 49ers have made their second-round selection, guard Aaron Banks out of Notre Dame. What's interesting is he's a Bay Area guy. He apparently is from the East Bay. He's from Alameda. So,
yeah, Aaron Banks, very own,
coming back home. Ray, you know Aaron Banks very well? A couple of Alameda boys hanging out, drinking a couple of Michelobes?
Yeah, we hang out a lot.
Why Michelobes?
I don't know. Just, you know.
Okay.
Why not a Michelob? Sounds like
no,
a good
I mean,
idea on a
against
Friday
Michelob,
night.
Just a, yeah. It's a little bit of a off the beaten path choice. I thought maybe there was a specific reference.
Yeah, no, nothing. That,
I'll be honest with you. If it's Michelob, I mean, I'm not a beer snob, but no.
Oh, come on, the
so
night belongs to Michelob.
A little bit of a beer snob.
Night belongs to Michelob. By the way, there is a guy.
He grew up in Alameda, but he went to El Cerrito High.
Hey now.
Oh, well, so, screw that guy.
So at the time that he could legally drink, he wasn't drinking in Alameda. So I don't feel like I've missed anything.
Fair enough. At least he got to drink in South Bend. He's 21? I don't even know. I don't even care because there's a guy who is dressed
doing
as Randy
Macho Man
Savage on stage in Cleveland Brown full-on regalia is Randy Macho Man Savage.
He's even got his like COVID mask is a picture of the Macho Man's face. And
right.
It's very convincing.
For a second, I thought it was the ghost of Randy Macho Man Savage at the NFL draft. I really did.
I seriously did a like, wait, he's dead, right? For a second before I was like, yeah, that's just a guy in a mask.
Now, what would have been fantastic if he could have convinced his friend to dress or like his girlfriend or wife is Miss Elizabeth and gone up there with her as well. That would have been fantastic.
I don't think anyone wants to relive that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that was love.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
Just no. I mean,
I don't think history has smiled upon the relationship between Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Are there things that happened that I need to know about?
I think there
not that you need to know about. Just trust us on this.
Things happened. Okay, fair enough. Let me tell you what we're about to do. We're going to take a smidgen of a break and come on back to wrap up the week. In the following segment, we will cram in every element today of Major League Baseball that we could throw at you. We will cram in any evaluation of the 49ers season, or excuse me, of the Golden State Warriors season that we really didn't get into today. We will have for you a lovingly prepared Kolsky's Corner, which is always one of our favorites because today's theme is, can you guess the theme? So that's all coming up in just a matter of moments here on 95.7 The Game. Don't you move a muscle. We wrap up in strong and fine fashion in just a moment. And oh, by the way, if you missed any of it, you can find it all on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app. Go to 95.7thegame.com. That's where you find all of our content now. Radio.com is no more. We are Odyssey. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Matt Kolsky takes us back to a simpler time.
Hey, Stella!
To appreciate the pop culture that's aged like a fine wine.
Well, isn't this a fine song and dance?
What are you getting so hot about?
Keep your shirt on.
Where do you get off making remarks like that?
Supposing I say you're a lunkhead.
Well, I ain't much for supposing.
It's time for Kolsky's Corner on 95.7 The Game.
Indeed. time for Kolsky's Corner, and as I said, we're just going to have a little fun today. It's sort of a, can you pick up what I am putting down? And I don't think it's that hard. I don't think it's especially tricky. I'll tell you this. Knowing the film, our new pal Mark back in the studio was able to figure out the theme pretty quickly. The question is, will you be able to identify the film from this soundbite?
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
In what way?
I don't know, just funny looking.
Can you be any more specific?
I couldn't really say. He wasn't circumcised.
Was he funny looking apart from that?
Yeah.
What about the other fella?
He was a little older. You know, he looked like the Marlboro Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But maybe I'm saying that, you know, because he smoked a lot of Marlboros.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a subconscious type of thing.
Oh, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah. Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
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 Ray, do you know what film that is?
Well, if it's not Fargo, I give up.
It is indeed Fargo. So I'm guessing you see where this is going. Trey Lance, of course, went to school in Fargo. And in addition to being the third pick in the draft, I mean, his first name is Trey. So naturally, this is the direction I went with music.
Reform the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number.
Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two, three.
That's a magic number.
It's a great, great, great song by, of course, Damon.
The Trey Songs?
No, you don't know who that is?
What is, who
I'm
is
shocked.
It?
No. Oh, I just took that as a gimme. That is De La Soul.
Oh, okay.
That's our era. I figured that was in your wheelhouse, but indeed, De La Soul, three is
I got
the magic
two. I got two. So I thought De La Soul right away, but then I got so caught up in Trey, I started thinking rappers named Trey and Trey Songs is the only thing that came into my mind. I got to tell you, that was A, clever, but B, I am really disappointed in you because I thought for sure you were going to melt my face with a ripping first tube because, yeah, as we say, Trey. Let Trey solo. Let Trey solo. You can wear fish t-shirts to 49ers games now. Let Trey solo, baby.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, you could wear, or if you want the Grateful Dead version, you go Let Trey sing.
If you wanted to do that, too. But even that, let's face it, that he was good on Alabama Getaway, but that's mostly a mistake as well. You just want him playing guitar for the most part. But there you go. That was good. I'm glad we did that. We did have fun with that. Well
hey,
done.
And Fargo, it's come to my attention that the youth may not be aware of Fargo, the film. Not the place in North Dakota, but the film. And I would imagine that you gentlemen will co-sign when I say it's truly a classic at this point, and you ought to watch it.
What is his? William H. Macy?
Yes. And Frances McDormand.
McDormand's fantastic. She just won another Oscar. She wins those pretty much every time she's in a movie. But William H. Macy is so smarmy. He's one of the most smarmy on-screen characters
of all
time.
And Ray, I believe, was about to say Steve Buscemi as well.
Yeah, he was the owner of the foot that got pushed into the chipper shredder.
Oh, there's no spoilers. Right. No spoilers, Ray. There is a wood chipper that could have won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in this thing. There is no doubt about that. But
yeah, no, it's a cracking good time and lots of goofy Fargo accents, lots of oh yeah, and indeedy.
It's Coen Brothers, right? I mean, the guys are geniuses.
Yep.
They're total geniuses. They really are. So there you go. By the way, real quick, we're going to sneak in everything into the final segment here this afternoon. I told you about my sleepers. Tyson Campbell was the number one pick of the second round by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I told you that Rondale Moore out of Purdue, the wide receiver who reminded me probably more of Tyreek Hill than anybody I've watched play college football in a long time. This kid is open field goodbye. That's a touchdown level fast.
DB, he is 5'7 and can squat 600 pounds.
Yeah, he is basically...
That sounds like Tyreek Hill.
A human fire plug, and he has just been drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. So,
uh-oh.
Good luck with that 49ers secondary, which they did not address when they traded back with the Las Vegas Raiders in the second round and went on tackle. But, man, if you're looking for... Like, what is, as of right now, the weak point in the 49ers as a franchise? It's that secondary, and they need to do something in this draft to address it, period.
Agreed, but I will say it speaks to their strategy, which is, I'll show you how we address the secondary. We're going to kill the quarterback with our defensive line.
Yeah, have you met like Bosa? Best cornerback in football.
That's right. I mean, that is clearly, I think it's been established that that is a fundamental belief of this regime. So it's going to be put to the test this year because there's a lot of passing to be done in the division.
Indeed. I mean, Kyle Shanahan does things that are not way off kilter. It's not Gruden level crazy, but he is slightly out of phase at times with conventional wisdom, and passing on a secondary guy here is sort of that.
Let's just squeeze in the tiniest little bit of baseball because we didn't do any today. None. And we got two things that are going underway that are worth talking about. First of all, the Oakland A's, terrible start to the year, best winning streak of the year, and now they're going to try to put a winning streak together, make that two in a row as they take on the Orioles at Camden Yards tonight. It's John Means, and he means business for the Orioles, one of the few that does. He is 2-0 with a 1.50 ERA. Mike Fiers makes his season debut for the Oakland A's. He has been dealing with a hip problem ever since spring training. So the A's are 7-3 in their last 10. Try and get a little winning streak together tonight at Camden Yards. Meanwhile, the Giants are at the Padres tonight. Logan Webb against Yu Darvish. By percentage points, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, gather around so I can tell you that by percentage points, right now, the Giants are a first-place team in the National League West. I didn't think there would be a singular moment of this baseball season when I would say that out loud without laughing. They're actually in first place. Probably won't stay there very long, but here we are.
That it felt like something we would make a joke about day two because we knew it was never going to happen.
Right,
again
enjoy it while you can.
Season.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But the fact that I mean, yeah, it's not deep in the year, but it's so much deeper than I thought they'd be competing for the lead in the division. It's impressive.
Why do you have to take them just a scant seriously? And I'm not telling you to take the Giants very seriously. Not right now, anyways. But why you have to take them a scant seriously? It's simply this. They've allowed the fewest runs in Major League Baseball, except for the Mets, who have played 9 fewer games due to COVID and rainouts. So, there you go. When you're allowing the least amount of runs in baseball, you're on to something.
One of the primary goals of the game, not allowing
this
runs.
Is one of the things we're here to do today. There's no doubt about it. That's it. We don't have any more to do today. What a good week. What a fun week. Ray, congratulations. You made it through another NFL draft season alive.
Woo!
I'm happy for you.
Neither am I.
And as Lucas said, it's not over yet. He's right about that. We'll be back on Monday to review it all. And Matt is off for the next couple of weeks. Ray and I... Are you ready? Back in studio, which means bring the lip gloss, Ratto. I'm going to give you a big smacker right on your lips when I see you. I've missed you so much. Thanks so much to all of our guests today. Trey Lance, Peter King, Steve Kerr, Michael Irvin. We want to thank Lucas and Nash back in the studio, of course. Enjoy some time off, Matt Kolsky. Thanks so much to Mark, who is in studio learning today. I'm not saying that the button explosion from earlier in the show was his fault, but if I were Lucas and Nash, I'd be totally blaming it on the new guy. That's the direction I would go in. Thank you so much to everyone who listened today. This has been an awful lot of fun all week long. We'll talk to you again on Monday from the studio. Who'd have thunk it? The old normal. About to become the new normal again, and I'm going to hate the commute, but it'll be great to see everybody. Until then, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
Like that, he's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. What?